This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3217 for Tuesday the 1st of December 2020. Today's show is entitled, Sump Minion and is part of the series, Hobby Electronics. It is hosted by Brian in Ohio, and is about 18 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, my first Internet of Things device, without using Python.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. Brian in Ohio here, back. I'm out from under my rock. I'm back in Northwest Ohio, using my regular voice. And although it was kind of fun doing that eSpeak episode, eSpeak's pretty cool. It's actually very fast. Just type up what you want to say and have eSpeak read it out for you. And I don't understand why anybody would complain about the audio. It's no worse than operators. Episodes, and we all love his shows, don't we? Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about a problem that I had here at my house that I found a solution to, and I thought it might be interesting to you all. Okay, the problem is that here in Northwest Ohio, we live in a place where with a very high water table. We live in an area that used to be called the Great Black Swamp. We're basically on the shores of the Great Lakes here in the U.S. It's the largest source of fresh water in the planet, I believe. And because of that, you can just dig down a little bit, not very far, and hit water. And so if you have a basement in your house, you're going to have water issues. To counteract that problem, houses here in this area have sumps put in, and a sump, and I've got a couple pictures here. A sump consists of a basin that's in your basement, and there's some piping that directs the water from outside into this sump collection area, and then that water is pumped out, usually pumped out by an electrical pump. And a good sump system has some kind of backup. Usually it has two pumps in it. So my sump system has the picture one, or is just kind of looking into the closet where it sits. And then picture two is looking down into the sump with the cover off, and you see the pump. It's the main pump is the black device with the green on top. And there's a secondary pump that is the black part that's got a hose clamp around it with a little white knob thing that's connected to this. There's a PVC pipe with a wire that runs down to it. And so those are the two pumps in my sump system. The real problem isn't necessarily the sump itself. It's when the sump pumps fail. And so the primary pump can fail in many ways. Of course, it can have mechanical failure. It's a pump sitting in water, so rust is a problem. A lot of these pumps have some kind of float system that turns the pump off and on. Those floats can get stuck. They can have sediment get into them and mess them up. And of course, if you have some kind of electrical outage, you can have your sump won't work because it's powered by electric. And so if you have a thunderstorm that knocks out the power and there's water rising, you won't have your primary pump will not work. So I have a secondary pump. Those can be different flavors. Some of them are electrical also, but usually those have a battery backup. And those all of the secondary pumps have the same problem. They can fail in different ways mechanically, but a secondary pump that relies on some kind of battery, if there's a long power outage, you might have to at least recharge that battery. You might run into problems there. My secondary pump actually uses city water as a mechanism to run a turbine to draw the water out. So there's an assumption here that if your power is out and your city water is out, you're probably experiencing the zombie apocalypse, and you've got other bigger problems than your sump pump at that point, or your sump it's in general. So I wanted a system. I've had a couple of floodings of the basement for a variety, a couple of different reasons. So I wanted a system that would notify me when the water level in the sump was rising. And I wanted it set so that when the water level hits where the secondary system kicks in, I would get that notification. And I wanted a system that wouldn't use some kind of home spy system that's available from one of your friendly corporations out there. And I really didn't want to use Python because I don't really know Python, and I didn't want to just install Python libraries and for a solution. I wanted to be able to do it with tools that I understood. So the solution I came up with uses a Raspberry Pi, a simple transistor circuit, a C library that allows me access to the Pi's GPIO pins. Those are the general purpose input and output pins, and those are those that header of 40 pin. For number 26 pins, I think it is. I'm not sure what the number is. The little pins that stick up out of the Raspberry Pis that allow, and those allow you access to hook things up to them. And I used the Muttmail client and some Bash scripting and a cron job to get this job done. So here's how I did it. I used a Raspberry Pi 3B. That's what I had laying around. I installed, of course, Slackware because that is the best operating system. That's the best Linux distribution that's out there. And I used the Sarpy projects, Slackware ARM on the Raspberry Pi. I've got links in the show notes for these things. There's actually the developers of the Slackware ARM fork of the, or part of the Slackware project. They have a podcast. I've got a link to that. They've got about 15 shows out. Pretty good listening. And so after installing Slackware on my Raspberry Pi, I wanted access to those general purpose input-output pins. And initially, I did a little bit of looking around, and there's a way to control those pins using calls to SysFS that are really just echoing into SysFS, the virtual file system that creates these connections to these input and output pins from the kernel to the real world. But unfortunately, that SysFS system is deprecated. There's a link in the show note to what's happening there. And it's being replaced by, I think it's called libgpio. So I tried to compile that and get it working, and I could not do it. So I was a little bit frustrated at that point. There's some other solutions, of course. There's using Python, which I really don't want to use. There's a project called Wiring Pi, which kind of makes the access to the GPIO pins very similar to the way Arduino or wiring does it. And it's but unfortunately, that project's dead, it seems like. And then there's a project out there called Pi GPIOD. It's still active. There's a Slack builds for it. I've got the Slack builds is the official, unofficial, extra repository for Slackware users, and a great source of software out there. And they had a Slack builds for it, so I built it up, installed it into my Pi, and then had access to the GPIOs. And that library is actually pretty amazing. It allows access from the C functions. It has a Python wrapper, and it has bash commands that allow you access to the GPIOs. It's very cool, very easy to install. The syntax of the commands are as kind of, I would have written it differently, but I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's what I would do if I designed it, but I'm not going to change it. It works just fine. The circuit. I used a rework of a circuit that Forrest Mims. I have a bunch of Forrest Mims books in my library, and if you don't know who Forrest Mims is, I've got a link to a Wikipedia article in the show notes, and he's put out a bunch of Radio Shack here in the U.S. We had this company, this retailer Radio Shack, where you could get electronic stuff when I was growing up, and one of the things they had was these little engineer's notebooks, and they were in graph paper form, and they had circuits and stuff, and just endless hours as a kid of looking at those and dreaming about making things that really didn't come into fruition until now when I'm an older guy. But anyway, so there's Forrest Mims has a circuit that involves a transistor, a couple of three resistors, and it allows you to detect water pretty easily. And so I've got a picture of that circuit, and I did it and tried to do it in Forrest Mims style graph paper, and it gives a kind of a block overview. The circuit's to the right, and then the main change that I did was I installed a relay board, and I'll describe how I did this later in the show. This relay board allows me to do a functional test of the system whenever I want to by basically shorting across the probe pins, and then the system runs and it does what it's going to do, which I'll describe what it does when I get there. So that's the third picture. As far as notification goes, I remember that you can send text messages via emails. And so what I there's a link in the show note for different systems for different carriers. For my carrier, Verizon, it's your phone number at vtext.com is who you would email to, and it comes up as a text message. And so if the best text messaging system for a Raspberry Pi on the command line is Mutt. So I set up a Mutt client, and I've got a link on how I did that to my Gmail account, and that is how I am notified if there's a problem in my sump. The system detects when the water gets high through the circuit. If the water is shorted out the probe pins, and the circuit goes to a logic level zero because it's driven low, then a Mutt message is sent to my phone, letting me know that there's a problem, that this water is coming up, and then I can go investigate to see what's going on. So the script that I came up with that I run on a cron job every minute, basically it has a few parts. The first part is daily at 6 a.m. it sends me a message just to let me know that Pi is still running, that Raspberry Pi is working, that the GPIO daemon, the PI GPIO D daemon, which is what's running in the background on the Raspberry Pi, is still running. If not, it sends me a message because only root can start that daemon up. So I would have to intervene SSH into that Raspberry Pi and restart it if for some reason it died. It makes sure that the pins that I use, which are pin 4 and pin 17 on the Raspberry Pi. The pin 4 is the input pin from the sensor. The pin 17 is the output to the relay, which turns the relay off and on when I want it. It makes sure those are correctly set up as input and output. And if those two, at 6 a.m., if those two, th- those th- three things. The two pins and the daemon is running. It sends me a message that says that the system is running. And then once a month, I picked the first Wednesday of the month at noon, using a little bit of cut commands against date, and the system runs a monthly test. It sends me a message that it's going to run a monthly test. It basically energizes that relay, shorting the pins of the probe, the water probe, and then the circuit thinks that the water has risen. The input to the GPIO goes from a logic high because the pin is held high normally. It's driven low, and it's detected, and I get a water rising message. Does that once a month. And then the last part of the script is just just what the main purpose of this project is this checks to see that the sensor pin is not at a logic zero driven low. It says if it's a zero, then the water is risen, that circuit is active, and it sends me a message that the water is rising. But usually, you know, everything's going well, it would be a one and I don't get anything. I breadboarded up the circuit. I put in all, and that's a picture four there, the Raspberry Pi with all the wires, a big old mess of wires there to run the system, and did a bunch of testing, got the script working, and then once I was confident that it would work, I made a strip board, which is picture five, where a couple little headers, one's to the right on the picture, that's a transistor and the resistors are on top, and then on the left is where the wires that connect to the sump pump and to the relay board are put in, and then the header that's to the right on the picture facing down is what plugs into the Raspberry Pi. And then I had a case, I did a little cutting and pasting, and I stuck that relay board onto the top of the case and secured the whole thing in to a 2x4 in the sump closet. And that's where my sump minion lives. And hopefully I'll never have another water problem again that would require a flooding of my basement for me that I could be able to intervene before I get a flooding problem. And that's the hope. And right now I feel confident that that's what this device will do for me. So in conclusion, it was a fun project. I think it shows the power of Linux and FLOSS. There's so many different ways to approach a problem and different solutions out there. This is the solution I chose, and certainly it's not a static problem. It's something that I can tinker with, and if I find new and better ways to do it, that's what I'll do it. I'll implement those changes. So anyway, I hope it inspires you to take one of those Raspberry Pis and hook things up to the physical world and make things move. Well, that's the end of the show. If you have any comments, go ahead and email me or post a comment, or better yet, make your show for HPR telling us about how you solved a problem like this, or just anything that's Raspberry Pi related would be interesting to hear. All right, enough of that. Brian in Ohio signing off, and I want to remind everybody to go fast, take chances.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.